Blog Talk Radio.
Biggest hip hop, man, back on live. It's your boy Three and Watch. Y'all know the vibes already, man. Watch, what's good, brother?
What's good, brother? Maintaining, you heard?
Yes, sir. Let's get right into this, Watson, man. A slew of hip hop topics that you and I need to tackle as a collective here. Our homie, I would like to think, he rocks with us heavy, man. I think we've co-signed his brother. Not saying our co-sign means everything. But it does. I think let's go ahead. That can pop our collar a little bit, though. But I think our opinion means a lot in hip hop. Would you agree on that?
I think that if people who love the kind of history of hip hop from 80s, 90s, 2000s to now, yes, I think for people who believe Kendrick or Big Sean are the great. I think they think we too old ass dudes.
Right.
Nothing about it.
I want to give a shout out to RJ Payne right quick, man. That is definitely the homie. Me and Watts have definitely co-signed that brother heavy for a year and some change now, I want to say. Recently, shout out to Lil Wayne right now. I know he has I guess you want to call it a podcast, Watts, where I know Stephen A. Smith is on there. He's talking sports, hip-hop, and stuff like that. Something similar to what we do, Watts. He's just on a bigger scale than us. He recently had Eminem on his show. Shout out to Eminem. He's doing his runarounds with Crooked Eye. Now he's with Lil Wayne. And the name of RJ Payne came up into the conversation. And Eminem asked Wayne at first, are you up on Eminem? Now, when he asked Lil Wayne this question, Watts, I don't know how you feel. This is how I felt. I don't know, to use your word, how was Wayne being a little bit disingenuous when he told Eminem he was familiar with RJ Payne, sir. I don't know if I believe that he's into RJ Payne or knows RJ Payne like that. You say what?
Well, first of all, I say this. I would love for Eminem to come and have a hip-hop dialogue on PSA Hip-Hop.
Okay.
And just have a hip-hop dialogue because he's just like us. Me and Eminem are the same age. So it's literally nothing about hip-hop that can't be discussed, that won't be discussed. And just talk about hip-hop because he clearly likes to talk about hip-hop. Eminem, you will never find two dudes who like to talk about hip-hop like me and three.
Right, so
just talk about rap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's obvious. First of all, I love the fact that Eminem knows who RJ Payne is and listens to RJ Payne.
Well, hold on, talk about. Is that a Royster 5'9 sliding, Slim Shady, Mr. Marshall Mathers, some RJ Payne music, sir?
I 100% believe it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe this. Now, I could be wrong. It could be Eminem does
not. I believe it too.
And he just discovers all of this stuff. So it could be that too. But I like the way Eminem was like, yo, RJ Payne, I know he's been out here, but man, the stuff he's doing now. And to me, that's how I feel. Like, are you listening to RJ Payne now, how he's rapping? It's like, It just sounds different because it's so.
But
raw,
hold on.
So
do you think Eminem, do you think Lil Wayne is up on RJ Payne the way you and I and Royce and Eminem are, though? Or was he being saying that just to save face for having a hip hop card? So his hip hop card will look funny style? Do you think?
No, I don't, but I could be wrong. I do not think Lil Wayne is checking for RJ Payne in these streets the way Royce, Eminem, and me and you are. But I could be wrong, but I just don't think
why do we feel that way? Why do both of us feel that way?
And we could be wrong, and the reason why we could be wrong because we know Lil Wayne has a strong love of East Coast hip hop, a strong love of it. So we could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a man who went through a deep resurgence when he decided to immerse himself in Harlem, New York history. So, you know, he could really be like, yo, this dude RJ Payne is fire. Because, first of all, we know PT absolutely loves Philly hip hop. Loves it.
Yes.
Push
yes.
it. Loves Philadelphia hip hop.
Jadakiss also.
We also know Lil Wayne loves Philly hip hop.
Hi, Gilly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there's a possibility that Wayne could really be into RJ Payne. I remember Wayne one time gave an interview and he was talking about how him and Gutter Gutter just would listen to Jadakiss verses and rewind them over and over again.
And have the jazz face, I'm pretty sure.
Right. So it's a strong possibility. But do I believe RJ Payne is giving him the feel that he gives me, you, Eminem, and Royce the 5'9"? No, I don't. But I preface by saying I could be wrong.
Is it a great look for it? And listen, if Lil Wayne is listening to RJ Payne, I think that is dope as hell. You know what I'm saying? I think that's very dope. Now, it's still a good look for RJ Payne to get that little. Listen, it's a great look for RJ Payne to get a Lil Wayne and Eminem having a conversation about him. Let's applaud that first, right? My gut feeling is Royce the 5'9 is the one. Now, I want to ask you this question. I'm not trying to, you know, jump over boundaries here. You think Em is listening to RJ Payne on some old, you know, maybe what's your situation looking like? But then again, Eminem does mess with the Griselda boys, so how does this work? If I mess with Griselda and you almost had a connection with Benny the Butcher, and I bring you into the fold, how does that make Benny and them look though? In a sense, though, if he did that,
I don't know. I don't know the dynamics of that. I just know. Like I'm gonna try to take it from RJ Payne's standpoint.
Okay.
Just imagine you are an MC. And you just spinning like your life depends on it. And you just rapping. It's overwhelming. You have guys like Black Thought, Redman, Royce the 5'9", legendary MCs. Let me just say this. Thank you for bringing up the Eric Sermon freestyle. That Eric Sermon freestyle he did in Eric Sermon's Whip to set off the Vernia album. That was a great intro.
Was that the beginning? Was that the beginning for RJ Payne? For him?
It wasn't the beginning, but it was you respect.
Now, hold on, Watts. When I say the beginning, because mind you now, hold on. When I say the beginning, right, mind you now, this man has a multitude of mixtapes out here in these streets. Let's be clear on that, right? So when I say it was opening for him in the sense of maybe the hip hop audience, you got to the curtains open up a little bit more for him?
See, I think the K Slay freestyle opened it up.
Okay.
He opened it up.
Okay.
Because I know he was doing the Lord Jamal stuff, and I know he was doing the IG freestyles. But when he did that DITC breakdown, I remember you
said
to me like, yo, you got to hear this. And of course, me and you appreciated it because we know the history of DITC. Of the ITC, and he broke it down. And he did the same thing with the Death Squad. And when you see somebody like Eric Sermon, who knows what an ill MC is from the 80s to the 90s, like, it this way. RJ Payne is dead nice. Anybody who raps knows he's dead nice. To hear Eminem and Lil Wayne talking about you is I don't know.
If that's not extra motivation. If that's not extra motivation for RJ Payne, I don't know what is.
I just think it's phenomenal.
Right.
That he made it to those ears. Because these are guys who've conquered hip hop. They've conquered it already. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that, you know, he's getting that kind of eyes and ears on his work, I love it. Because, you know, I was someone who was very – I had mixed feelings about him not being with Griselda because I want him to win. I always want the lyricist to win.
To win.
So I was happy that Eminem and Wayne gave him his props. I loved it, actually. I loved it.
And you know what's ill about Eminem, man, that he's still, like you said a second ago to open up the show when you and I spoke about Eminem a little bit, he still loves hip-hop, my guy. He's still that old head like us who still like to hear nice dudes, no matter how much money he has, no matter how much successful he has, how many number one albums this man has, he still appreciates the spitters in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing we got to salute Eminem for that.
And the reason why we relate to it is because people got to understand, if you've been listening to hip-hop as long as us,
right?
Like, we could really say, let's just say we go back 30 years, 32 years,
Jesus.
33 years. We've been listening to spitters.
Yeah,
like,
man.
We were listening to G-Rap and Kane and Rakim. And we were like, oh, so y'all stuck in the 90s, stuck in the 90s. But we always liked that kind of MC. So when we started liking Nas and CL Smooth and Big L and Big Pun, you know, we liked them because they were spitters. So then in the 2000s, when we started liking Saigon, Papoose, and Graf and Call the Guns, do you know why we liked them? Because they were spitters. We never stopped liking the MC who could rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, man. I really think M doesn't realize how much of a dope hip-hop conversation we have. And let me just put this out there. Eminem put out a list of MCs you should listen to and his music should be quarantined. Every MC on that list, me and you know and me and you could talk about. Eminem, we are the guys in hip-hop. You come on a show like this, we can have a detailed conversation.
And let's be real, you and I also gave credit to our homie, also Crooked Eye. He has probably one of the best Eminem conversations that he had. I thought Eminem was very comfortable talking to Crook, you know what I mean? But hey, Em, feel free to come on the show, my guy, you know what I mean? But listen, what does it say about Royce da 5'9"? Because I feel like he's the one, like, I feel Royce was the one that put Eminem onto Griselda. Because he co-signed them first before they got signed to the Shady deal and stuff like that. So is Royce da 5'9" really the one out here in these streets keeping his ears to what's going on and putting dudes on?
Well, here's the thing. If you say Eminem is like us, that means he still has that love for us.
Right, right.
Like one time
he was
talking to Crooked Eye didn't put him on to Young M.A., he was like, yo, sometimes I do deep dives, and I just get, and I just start just zoning
which
out.
Which is dope.
And that's
which is
me.
Dope. Which is dope as hell. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
which is dope.
I'm going to give him some credit and be like, nah, he might like his own stuff too. You know what I'm saying?
Right, man. Yeah, man, shout out to my man, RJ Payne, though, man. It was dope to see him get that co-sign, man. I even hit him on IG and was like, yo, man, if this is any more extra motivation you need, brother, when you go in the booth and you're writing those rhymes, there you have it right there, man. You know what I mean? Shout out to him, man. Watch, let's get into this, man. Before we get into the nooks and crannies of this individual about his freestyle that he's been dropping, you and I did a Lloyd Banks appreciation. I just want to tell everybody out there also, we do these appreciations because we like to highlight the artists. We don't wait for them to drop an anniversary album or when they passed away. Now we want to show this particular artist love. That's not what me and Watts do over here. But we did a Lloyd Banks appreciation. And Banks, I guess he didn't like to what you said. Not really what you said about his freestyle on the Hunting Season, on Jadakiss Hunting Season. I guess he figured that we gave him fake love. And Bex and I pretty much are cool, I would like to say. We go back on phone, back and forth on text and DM and all this other stuff. When you saw the tweet, what was your initial reaction when you saw Banks made it sound like, you know, we didn't give enough props on our season?
I took a picture of the tweet and I sent it to all the people in my life who know me.
Right.
Everybody who knows me was in shock. They were in shock. And like me, they were deeply disappointed. Because the one thing they know about me is they know I was like the number one supporter of Banks and the G-Unit movement. And Banks as the PLK, as the Punchline King. They all knew that. So it was literally shocking. They're like, what did you do to Banks? What happened? Why do you say you gave him fake flowers? I said, because I thought the hunting season freestyle was just okay. I didn't think it was the most awe-inspiring jazz face freestyle I've heard from Banks. I've been listening to Banks
now,
for 19 years. Wait.
Before you go.
Bad news.
Do you think Banks glossed over everything else we said and just highlighted just that part? It's funny, like, he highlights just that part, but not giving him his props as the Punchline King. Not us saying that there was conversations that guys would rock with him more than 50 at one time. He didn't bring that up at all. He went straight into, he felt that we, well, maybe you more than I did, because I didn't have a big problem with it, but I understand your opinion on it. And Bex, I got to tell you something right also, brother. I love you, my guy, but I ain't never going to pick no rapper over my homie on this show. That's never going to happen, but continue.
So, like I said, I've been listening to Banks for 19 years. I strongly believe that me and you, when we do appreciation, especially if we do an appreciation for 44 minutes, that we really admire
right.
the MC and admire the
mm-hmm.
MC's body of work.
Facts.
He said, we gave him fake flowers. Imagine Banks saying, guys who are talking about his Justo mixtape award, that
right.
it's fake, that we're being fake to even bring up Justo.
Yo.
We know, don't
breaking
know
up.
You from
breaking
Banks.
Up.
Half the people
Watch.
Who listen know, yo.
Yo, you good now. You broke up for like 2 seconds there.
So, to me, I didn't take it well. I'm going to be honest, man, because you know I'm a hip-hop fanatic. I am a hip-hop fanatic. And for Banks to say we gave him fake flowers, Three, have you ever re-listened to some of our appreciations?
Of course.
And you can hear how much we love these MCs.
Of course.
We
argued.
About.
We argued over certain things. Like, we go at it. But watch, here's the thing. I took it different than you did. I didn't even get mad. I low-key chuckled and was like, yo, Banks, just come on the show. I had Banks on DM. Had a little, you know, whatever. And my thing is this, hey, y'all listening to what we got to say, which means more important to me than any rapper catching feelings or anything we say, because I don't think
well,
we say
I'll
things
say
on a malicious
this.
Tip.
I'll just say this, Banks. There was nothing fake about what we said. We just talked about our perception of your career. That's it. I don't know how you could say that's fake flowers. But, I mean, that's how you feel. And
right.
the hunting season freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the reason why I said it was okay is because in 2020 we hear some absolutely amazing hip-hop. I mean, let's be clear. Eminem set it off. And the MCs he brought on his album was MCs like Black Thought, Crooked Eye, Jewel Ortiz, Royce da 5'9", like Young M.A. And they all gave him phenomenal, incredible verses. Then Royce da 5'9 released an incredible album with incredible verses. Graf, incredible album, which I to this day still think is the best lyrical spitting album. Crooked Eye released the EP. He's about to release something with Joe. So the point I'm making is I heard it, and it wasn't the greatest Banks I've ever heard. Now, people want me to say, oh, my God, this is back. Stop the presses, hip-hop, and the greatest lyrical spinning I've heard. reality is, it's not based on who I heard. Now, if you tell me Grab for 24 hours sounds lyrically better than his 100 season verse, but that's just me. That's all. I listen when I hear MCs. Some MCs get a deal, some MCs don't. And at the moment, Banks' freestyles are good, but they're not jazz face making me, you know, lose my mind. And because I feel that way, I'm a Banks hater, and it invalidates anything I know about Banks. So I'm a hater, and I clearly know nothing about Banks now because I don't think these are his greatest freestyles.
Here's how I look at it. I'm looking at it like this, all right? I know where Happy Banks is outside, right? Because I've been saying this for a while. If you're a rapper right now, if you're a rapper, like dudes that loves to rap and great lyricists, this climate of hip-hop within the last 2 years now has really shown the spitters and everything, right? Some people want to say, give credit to Griselda boys and say they're the ones open the door or 30 Special, whatever you want to say, made it cool to just be yourself and just rap again. You know what I mean? You don't got to go to the try to go for a commercial tune, the internet. If you can rap, the internet and brothers like me and Watson are going to show you love, right? So is it a separation where some fans love Banks so much that no matter, in their eyes, whatever he says is dope because it's Banks? Is it that?
Yes. The nostalgia of Banks based on what Banks meant to people when he was out dropping all his music, all his mixtapes, and then they missed him. He was their favorite MC. And now that he's back dropping bars, it is, you know, when people have favorite MCs, it's hard for them to judge those MCs anymore. They just like,
is it really
I'm a victim. No, I'll give you an example. Even I'm a victim of it. I'm telling you, when certain MCs are going to, for example, there's nothing anyone's going to be able to tell me about when 38 Special and Benny dropped Stab and Shot 2. I like those brothers so much that I know I'm
going to enjoy. Hold on. But to be fair now, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to fight you back on this. I think we're good at separating the two, that we could have our favorite MCs and brothers that we rock with. But if they drop something that's subpar, we're going to say it, though, no?
No, I agree with that, but I'm trying to give an example that even I feel that way. Like, for example, the way I feel about RJ Payne right now, every time I listen to him, I'm zoned out. Like, I feel like I'm listening to something mad ill, mad lyrical. Like, I'm listening to it like, yeah, this dude. You know what I'm saying? It was like that back in the days when every verse I heard Redman spit, I liked. You know what I'm saying? I was
right.
I really was like
it. Hey,
and
listen, I'm guilty of that. I felt Prodigy. I felt that way about Prodigy for years. I felt that way about Prodigy for years. You know what I'm saying? Everything peached up.
So,
spit. I thought it was a five-mic verse, and maybe it wasn't.
Right, and I feel that Banks has a lot of people who feel that way about him. That's all. There's a lot of people who feel that way about him. When they hear Banks, oh, my God, it's fire already.
Now, I want to go here right now. 50 Cent just actually released a book. It's called Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, right? And the talk was when he started talking about G-Unit, right? Now, I just recently saw an interview with 50 on Big Boy Radio Station in L.A. And he was talking about G-Unit and everything, right? And the way 50 came off was that he's still cool with Yayo. And G-Unit right now is him, Yayo, Uncle Murda. And that the relationship with him and Buck is not the same because we all know Buck's situation with the tranny talks and all this other stuff. And that, I guess, for 50's, this is what 50's saying, that Buck was embarrassed to have that conversation with 50. So he went from being embarrassed to barking on 50 and getting that 50 and everything, right? Now, when he got into Banks, he said that the problem with Banks is Banks, first of all, he compared Banks to his son Marquise and saying that they have internal issues. That was kind of like a slap in the face, though, right? To compare Banks to Marquise. You know, I felt that kind of weird. I was in the type of way.
Based on the analogy he made, so do you know what the analogy he made? Marquise was someone who was rich and privileged and act like he still wasn't getting enough. That's what the analogy was.
Nah, son, you're playing me out by saying that.
His son was saying it. Let me ask you something. Marquise's riches came from who?
50.
Why did Marquise get rich?
Okay. Don't compare me to your son, though, Phil. Don't compare me to your son, though, my nigga. Don't compare me to your son, though.
He used to call Bangham Smurf his son. He used to call Bangham
Smurf his
son.
I didn't like that.
Okay. All right. Finish your point.
You don't think that's trying to son him, though, by saying Marquise is like, compared to Marquise?
No, I don't, because that wasn't the point he was making. The point he was making was about what he provides for people and what they expect off of what he provides. And clearly, based on Banks' latest freestyle, when he was like, oh, I got to where I got because of my rapping. That's what he said on the cold summer.
Now, let's stay right there for a second. Because I'm going to get to that right second before I get to the freestyle. He also said that if you ask Banks, he couldn't tell you what the problem is. You get what I'm saying? And so he wanted Banks to be more active on social media, and Banks maybe wasn't so much active on social media. 50 said that Banks was trying to compare, saying that Biggie and Tupac were on social media. If he did say that's a bad analogy, Banks, if he did say that, according to 50, because social media was not popping when Tupac and Biggie was here. So that if that's true, you know what I mean? Now we go into Banks' freestyle, the Cold Summer freestyle. Why would you get the credit for something that I can do without you? What do you think about that line? Because a lot of these lines were credited towards 50 Wayne.
Well, Banks is saying that his rapping ability, he would have been who he was without 50. That's the only way I can interpret it, because that's literally what he said. So how else am I supposed to interpret it? I'm literally taking him at his word on what he said.
Forget the fact I was dead nice. I was dedicated. Losing my mind through the mistakes. Had to be medicated. At least I can say I got through it. So many never made it. I don't look at it as, hey, this credit. It's like when, you know, here's how I look at it, Watts. Remember when Beanie Siegel did a song with Jake getting at Jay-Z, and he was saying it's not a diss record, it's a real record? I didn't look at this as a diss record towards 50. I just felt like he was kind of responding or rebuttaling some of the stuff 50 might have said in his book and when he's doing his promo run. You think it's a diss record? How you look at it? I don't look at it as a diss record.
I don't look at it as a diss record either. I don't take it as a diss record at all.
Think about what I've done for you while you're reminiscing. Me and my little battle rap rhymes. Like, Beck said a lot of stuff on here, man. I had it right there for taking. Should have never hesitated. When he says that, I had it right there for taking, but I should never hesitated. What do you think he means by that?
I do not know what he means by that. I don't know. I just don't know.
Are you happy that he responded to 50, though? In a sense, though, kind of gave some bars.
No,
his way,
no,
not,
no, no, did not make me happy. I don't know what to be happy about.
What you mean, though? Go ahead.
I have nothing to be happy about. To be honest, man, I'm not even thinking on them terms. 50's doing interviews promoting his book. Banks has a freestyle where he responds to some of it. And you said, am I happy? No, I'm not happy. Hearing that did not make me happy.
Let's not use the word happy then. Being the fact that he responded and said something to some type of credence to what 50 saying about him, though, man. Let's be real. When 50's on Big Boy show talking about, you know, there's only him and Yayo on Murder and G-Unit, isn't that almost discrediting what Banks brought to the table, though?
No, it's telling you the truth. Did you not see 50
What's the
in Australia?
50, the first, wait a minute. 50, your first artist you let out off the label was Banks. He was your Method Man. The first guy you let off was Insta Cal. Before Yayo, obviously Yayo was locked up. Before Buck, it was Banks. So, you know, I don't know, man.
Listen, the freestyle is all right to me. I think it's cool. I want to hear more Banks. In fact, I really hope he's dropping a mixtape within the next month or a couple of weeks here, I guess. He's dropping a mixtape, I'm hoping. Are you looking forward to hearing Banks drop a full tape?
No, I'm not.
Really? Why?
I don't have Banks nostalgia. I haven't been missing it.
What do you
have? He has enough music.
What do you mean Banks nostalgia? It's still Banks. Crap.
He has enough records and enough music that makes me happy. You're asking my opinion. I do not miss hearing Lloyd Banks rap.
Yeah, but you still like hearing Black Thought rap. You still like Pusha. You still like G-Rap. Even G-Rap. You're one of your favorite rappers of all time. When G-Rap did Son of G-Rap with Spesh, you were lit for that. Were you not lit for that?
I'm still lit for it.
All right, man. Let's talk about Crooked Eye and Joel Ortiz just dropped a song called Hard. Two members of the Slaughterhouse. Talk to me, man. Crooked Eye and Joel Ortiz linking up to drop it to a 10-song project, I think, later this month, April 29th. May 29th, I believe it is. Talk to me, son. The song called Hard featuring Mr. K Street with Heatmakers doing the beat, man. Talk to me.
I tweeted out yesterday that people really don't understand how excited I am, how hyped I am for this project. So I wanted to put it in modern terms for the modern hip-hop guy, the modern hip-hop expert, the Wayno era generation. I said, if J. Cole dropped an album and Kendrick Lamar dropped an album and this Crooked Eye, Joel Ortiz album came out and they all came out at the same time, I would, without question, pick up the Crooked Eye, Joel Ortiz project before J. Cole and Kendrick. That's how excited I am about this. This is great news for me, for someone who loves lyricism, who's a big, big fan of Slaughterhouse. I couldn't be any more happier. This is great, great news. I love the fact that they're dedicating it to Fred the Godson. I like the fact on Crooked Eye's Live he explained, you know, how the album came to be when he was in New York, when he met Fred the Godson, when he was in it, when him and Joel Ortiz was together. I just like everything about this project. I like the first song they leaked when Crooked Eye went ham, gave me the jazz face immediately. And this was everything that I loved about Slaughterhouse. So I am very, very excited for this project. This gets me excited.
This song felt like it was two homies that haven't linked up, seen each other in a long time. And when they link up, they go back to old conversation. The chemistry is still there. They haven't missed a beat on the basketball court, so to speak. Do you think it's a great thing that it's just Crook and Joel working together? Would you like to see Royce? We know Joe Budden's not coming outside, so we're going to leave Joe alone. If Royce is going to be on this project, I would take it, right? He'll have a feature on here, right?
Crooked Eye has been doing a lot of work with Royce da 5'9". He's on Royce da 5'9"'s album, both of them on Eminem's album. So I didn't get the sense of I missed Royce, because Royce dropped an album this year. Royce is on four Eminem songs. So I hear Royce. So that's not, you know, I don't have a, I wish it was Royce. Then it would really be Slaughterhouse without Joe Budden. This is just these two homies, like you said, linked up. They have a mutual respect for each other. They talk about it. The XL cover shoot, freshman year, 2007.
Yes.
And, you know, they're cooking up, and they're going to put out a project that I cannot wait to talk about. You know, listen, if this first song is any indication of how the album is going to be, then you have a fire project.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? They literally just released the song. And this is what they are. This is how they always rap. So I do not want to hear a, yo, man, I ain't know Crooked Eye was nice, yo. I ain't know Joel Ortiz. I had Joel Ortiz top the album of the year last year with Fred the God, with Gorilla Glue.
Right.
Let's be very clear. People got on our case because we didn't have Mona Lisa and his Apollo Brown collabos even higher. They were really upset about that. So all I know is that I don't want to hear the, Oh, man, I didn't know Joel Ortiz the Crooked Eye was nice. That's the kind of talk, conversation I'm not even going to entertain. I'm not even entertaining that. I'm not having these, oh, yo, man, yo, that boy nice, man.
That
I didn't know they
spit.
That
boy
nice.
Can spit.
Yeah, that boy can spit, yo.
I thought Crooked Eye set this off lovely, man. I thought he spazzed on his song at the beginning with the flow and the delivery, the speed-up flow. The hook is nice. It did feel like, when you go back and dissect the song, that Joel Ortiz got more bars off than Crooked Eye, though. It almost made me feel like, because we know Joel Ortiz's relationship with Heat Makers already, that did he have this song in his stash and told Crook to drop some verse on it? Because Joel Ortiz had this was mad longer than Crooked Eye's.
I don't know, but I do know that Crooked Eye's verse set the tone off lovely.
It
and like you said, when he switched up that flow and did the double time speed flow.
Oh, my God.
Are there going to be people? Well, we know there's been criticism of speed flow. If you rap fast, that don't mean you nice. You know that saying that people think rapping fast don't make you nice. Tory Lanez
is yes.
popular. Think like that. One of the criticisms of Eminem's album by Maul and Joe Budden was, why is he rapping so fast? Like, is there any need for him to rap so fast? Well, clearly people have a hard time understanding faster flows. You guys would have hated Bone Thugs and Harmony, definitely would have hated Twista in the 90s, since rapping, quote-unquote, fast kind of throws you guys off. Anyway, like I said, this is a project, man, that I think is good for my hip-hop
yes.
soul, man. And I said this last year to you. I love when dope MCs do projects together because mm-hmm. I think they bring out the best. They do friendly competition, and nobody wants to have the, you got the worst verse on this song, or you got out the paint. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes,
so
yes,
they push
yes.
each other.
Do you think that's a subconscious thing with MCs, though, that are dope? That they worry about, well, the reason why I won't link up with rapper B because I don't want to have the conversation. I have people have this conversation that I got washed.
All rappers feel that way. Prodigy was like that. Nas was like that on Johnny Blaze. I've heard all the stories. You know, Prodigy heard the verses on iPhone I, then he wanted to re-record his again. Like, this happens. Young M.A. said she heard the song with Eminem without his verse, so she just rapped. And then she heard what Eminem said and was like, damn, I wish I had known he was going to just kill me on the song. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, it's that. That's why I like when rappers are in the studio together. See, when you're in the
right.
studio together, y'all both cook
it's
up
different.
At the same time.
It's different.
And,
yes.
and it comes
different.
Out crazy. That's why a song like
mm-hmm.
Brooklyn's Finest came out. They came. They was right next to each other in the studio, pacing back and forth, creating
yes.
the songs in their head. According to DJ Clark Kent, nobody writes rhymes anymore, according to DJ Clark Kent. But I'm very excited about this Joel Ortiz Crooked Eye project. And I think it's dope the fact that they had this done in February and just kept it under wraps this long.
Yeah, man.
We should have known something was up when we saw the picture of him, Fred the Godson and Joel Ortiz. Like, y'all in the studio together, and no one asks, like, what's
Listen,
going on? You know what I'm saying?
I put it on the channel. I put it on the channel here when Joel Ortiz and Crooked Eye were on IG together about a month ago. They were on IG. I take that bad boy and make sure I put that on the channel. And then now we're getting a release of a project. When Joel Ortiz said, maybe one day we'll reunite at Coachella, till then, it's just me and my dog, Old Yeller. Do you think Joel and Crook are, like, disappointed that, you know, Slaughterhouse is not what it's not where it should have been? And because of one person?
Yes.
Is there an incomplete
yes.
next to Slaughterhouse's name? Is there an incomplete next to Slaughterhouse's name?
Slaughterhouse is something that never had to end. You had Eminem, mm-hmm. an enthusiastic backer of you, giving you guys the go. According to Eminem, I knew, I said, look, okay, I was too involved in a debut album on Shady. This time, I'm going to let you guys rock out. And he did. Royce says it. Crooked Eye says it. M says it. So I think they felt like, man, we really had, you know, we were getting another opportunity to put out another album on Shady where M was going to leave us alone and let us do us. And fully had feelings towards Eminem that he later on revealed, I've always been nicer than you for last year. You know, Royce always been nice. Like, so when you have them kind of thoughts and that's how you was feeling, it's kind of, you know, I just felt that they believed that the Slaughterhouse stuff should have kept going. I believe this should have kept going. You know, I'm just a big Slaughterhouse fan. I'm the biggest Slaughterhouse fan, put it that way. I'm the biggest Slaughterhouse fan.
All right. Shout out to Crooked Eye, man. Shout out to Joel Ortiz. I can't wait to hear this project, man. I would not be shocked if you and I discussing this, like, heavy. I mean, obviously, we're going to do a recap of it, or we're going to break it down when it drops. There's not even a question about it. But, listen, man, I'm looking forward to this project, man. Shout out to those brothers right quick, man. Take us home, my G.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of Horace Grant. Mr., like he said, I told Jordan, I will beat you up. And Jordan cut it out the last stand. PSA Horace Grant, who Mike Jordan as a grown man had flight attendants not feed him on the flight. Hey, everybody, that's your goat. Horace Grant has a bad game. And then Michael Jordan told the flight attendants, do not feed him. But I guess to y'all, that's the good way. They won championships.
Nah, nobody's co-signing that, my G. Nobody's co-signing that.
Let's not feed him. Pierce and his home of Horace Grant, brother.
So let me ask you this. What do you think about the Jordan doc, the last series that you saw, though? Is it making Mike – is it really reminiscent of how great Mike was?
No, not to me and you, because me and you always knew how great Mike was. So that's
yeah.
Me and you are not – me and you don't have to learn how great Mike was because we already knew how great he was.
Of course.
Now you learn about who he was outside, you know. And he's still sitting up there, man. You know, Republicans buy sneakers too. You know, your mom's coming up to you. Yo, please, don't this dude over Jesse Helms. Let me just tell y'all this right now from hip hop talk. Everybody who was a rapper coming up in New York City early, when we had an opportunity to have our first black mayor, his name was David Dinkins, and he ran against a racist mayor named Rudolph Giuliani. Guess what? Everybody knew that David Dinkins. We wanted David Dinkins to win. You don't have to be politically active. You don't have to be into politics. But it was a deal. Because it was
a big thing. It was a big deal.
Mayor
it was.
Going against a racist Giuliani. And if you listen to a lot of early New York hip-hop, you always hear disses to Giuliani and Pataki. That's coming from a hip-hop.
Jesse Helms, I think every rapper in the 90s had a Giuliani. Yo, Pataki, like Nas, Oath, Big. You know what I mean?
Right. Michael Jordan sitting up there talking about, oh, I don't know nothing about politics. I don't know this. I'm just a guy who don't. I don't think people, if people ever Googled Jesse Helms to see who he was, and then you realize that this is the guy Jordan did not want to go against, it would shock you. This guy was a stone cold racist to the core. He ran on racism. He always voted against Martin Luther King's birthday. Jordan's own mother comes up to him, please do this for this dude. So, I mean, you're finding that out. We're going to find out about Jordan beating up Steve Kerr. We're going to find out how he tried to starve Harvey Grant, Horace Grant. And now
not Harvey. Not Harvey Grant. Not Horace Grant's twin brother, Harvey. He's playing for the Bullets. We're not talking about Harvey Grant,
Harvey
my
Grant. Harvey Grant. And now you know why in 1995, when Penny Hardaway and Shaq beat Jordan, they carried Horace Grant off the field.
Facts.
Up Horace Grant and put him on their shoulder and carried him off the field.
Let me tell you something. At that time,
I'm telling them how it was.
Oh, at that time, I was loving that. When they did that to the Bulls. I loved it. I'm not going to lie to you. I loved it.
And when they beat them, they picked up Horace Grant and carried Horace Grant off the field. Like Horace Grant was the winning champion. Because clearly Horace Grant wanted revenge. And he got it. And Horace Grant got it. Let me ask you a quick question. Could they have beaten Orlando without Dennis Rodman?
without Dennis Rodman? Because remember, when they beat them, there was no Dennis Rodman. Remember when he came back?
Right, it was just, right, it was Kukoc. He was rocking the 4-5 that year. That's when he came back in February of 95. I remember that vividly. Are you asking if they had Rodman, could they beat Orlando that year? Nah.
No. Remember, they lost to Orlando. And then the next year, they got Rodman. That's when they got Rodman. And then they beat Orlando. I'm saying.
But that was Shaq was already in L.A. already, all right?
No, Shaq wasn't in L.A. Shaq was still there. Shaq and Penny were still on that team.
That's right. That's right. Shaq and Penny were still on there. 95, though. 96 came out. Yeah. That's tough to call, brother. That's tough. My question was always this. Could Jordan and Scottie then beat the Rockets those 2 years? Was my question.
Yes. Let me tell you something. Without question, man. Without question to me.
I don't know, man.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it's not a debate. If y'all going to tell me, and straight to my face, that rookie Sam Cassell, Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell,
Robert Horry,
Mario Ellie,
Robert Horry,
let me just say, these are the guys that Scottie Pippen, Jordan, and Ron Harper are going to be playing. They're going to be playing Mario Ellie, Vernon Maxwell, and a rookie Sam Cassell. Now, you're going to have to convince me and tell me that those guys are going to be prime Michael Scottie and grizzled veteran Ron Harper. I do not believe that for a second that Mario Ellie's going to be anywhere near Scottie Pippen.
You didn't believe. You didn't believe in Chucky Brown and Mario Ellie and Otis Thorpe.
They were great role players, brother. They were great role players. I'm saying against
What the Bulls have beaten the Spurs in the 50 game season that year? In the striking season that year.
Yes. Because here's why. Scottie Pippen and Jordan dominated the 1, 2, and 3. Ron Harper, Scottie Pippen,
Avery Johnson.
The Ron Harper. You name it? Yeah.
You don't like the Sean Elliott? You don't like the Sean Elliott, Scottie Pippen matchup? You don't like the Sean Elliott, Scottie matchup at all?
Scottie Pippen winning it. Now, here's the thing. They're not going to. Me and you watched All-Star Alonzo Mourning be guarded straight up by Dennis Rodman. We watched it.
Yeah,
he used to fight Tom, lock up with him, get physical. Are you telling me Dennis Rodman's going to decide, oh, well, here go Hakeem Olajuwon and Otis Thorpe. Oh, well, here goes Dennis Rodman. Here goes David Robinson and Tim Duncan. I'm not going to be physical no more. I'm not going to be getting it in with them. No, so Dennis Rodman is going to be throwing his body on the line, grabbing 18 and 19 rebounds. They're not going to dominate the glass. So, yeah, I got Chicago beating them.
All right.
PSA Hip Hop Homo.
That's what it is, man. Man, that's what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. Holler at your boys, man. Y'all know the vibes already, man. Rock with us, man.